Welcome to Bisburg. I'm your host, Gary Dixon. Today's program on Bisburg is sponsored by North Hills Psychological Associates, Susan DiGirolamo, attorney at law, and Clark Consulting, LLC. Welcome to our guests, Lori and Susan and Greg. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Gary.
So we have three people we're going to be speaking with today on the program who are separate entities, separate businesses who have come together to work in this collaborative process we're going to talk about today. So why don't we start then our program with Lori Gephardt from North Hills Psychological Associates. Lori, you have been on the program. All of you have been before. We've done a previous program. And before I get into questions for you, Lori, let me just go ahead and mention that our first program together, which has a lot of good information on this, is posted on your website. Is that right?
That's right.
So that is the website, which is 833-NO-COURT.com.
Correct.
That's 833-NO-COURT.com. Let's start then with Lori, then we'll get to Susan and Greg after that. Let's talk about the collaborative process with Lori. What support do you offer in this process, which is called the collaborative process, for families who are struggling with how to talk to their children, their extended family and friends about the big divorce that they're going through or about to go through?
Well, we have quite a bit that we can help families in this regard. So many families, when they're thinking about divorce, have a great deal of worry and fear about so many things related to what's going to happen in a divorce. Mm-hmm. And often it's about how to tell their children about the divorce, what to say, what their spouse might say, how to explain the idea of divorce in light of the family's beliefs and values. You know, this is often something that a family never thought they would have happen to mm-hmm. their family. And they're still really trying to understand and accept what's happening themselves. And then to think about talking to their children and their friends and family can seem very overwhelming.
So you offer advice and support in coaching them, if you will, on how to handle this with the children?
Exactly. As a collaborative coach, I will meet with the couple individually and then together. And we talk about what are their hopes and fears about how the discussion will be handled, about what will be said, what won't be said. And sometimes what won't be said is really important to them. They don't want one spouse to blame the other for the divorce, particularly to mm-hmm. the kids. And we talk about what's appropriate and not appropriate for children to hear. We call this the divorce story, the story that we come up with that they can have a unified front in sharing with their family.
What we are talking about here, correct me if I'm wrong, is collaborative divorce is a divorce process in which at least the two parties are trying to work things out best they can and be fair about it.
That's right. The parties have chosen not to go to court. They've mm-hmm. chosen to do this in a different way where they come to the table together and they focus on their interests and what's important to each of them and for their family as well.
Obviously, though, even though they're trying to work this out, work together at a solution to all of this, there are a number of different reasons people decide to get a divorce. Some of them involve, well, infidelities, all kinds of different. They just don't get along anymore. But also alcohol and other addictions are a big cause for a lot of breakups of families, unfortunately. So are there ways in this collaborative process to help families cope with things like those issues of alcohol and addictions?
Certainly, and that's an important question because so many families these days are really struggling with addiction. And in the collaborative process, we can have the difficult yet respectful conversations about the addiction and the concerns that have come up without blaming or shaming. And one of the things that's helpful is we have the professionals there to facilitate these discussions in a safe way. So we can talk about the concern that one spouse has for the other. It might be concern for that spouse's well-being with the addiction. It might be concern about the safety of the children when they're with that spouse. We can encourage appropriate treatment so that the person who's struggling with addiction gets help. And we can really develop creative options. I've helped families talk about what things can we put into place so that our kids are safe and I can feel comfortable while the other party has the kids. You know, it might be having maybe extended family around. It might be all sorts of creative things that really allow the children to still have a relationship with that parent and do it in a safe way.
How about communication? How is that different in this collaborative process?
Well, couples in the collaborative process speak directly to their spouses at the collaborative table with the help of the collaborative team. It's very different than communication in litigation, where that communication is really filtered through the attorneys. Mm-hmm. And it means then that conflict may more easily escalate because people aren't really having the opportunity to develop understanding and talk to each other. So in this process, we meet together at the collaborative table. We have ground rules for safe communication. And the communication really offers the chance to have some understanding from the other spouse's point of view, to have the opportunity for apologies. I've seen apologies from one spouse to the other, which can really go a long way in helping them to parent together as they move forward. And we move away from blaming and focus on the interests and the future. And many couples have told me about how they feel a sense of closure. They feel that they really have received some relief and they can move forward in co-parenting in a very different way.
So I would imagine that there's a large amount of coaching that might go in individually or as a group right before that meeting starts, where you are laying out those ground rules. You're explaining how we're all going to try to be civil and not let emotions get too high in this meeting and so forth.
Absolutely. I do coaching one-on-one with the clients at times. We meet as a team and we prepare for how we can make sure that things go smoothly. And in the meetings, we can talk about what's going to be helpful and not helpful.
Well, thanks for joining us today on our program called BizBurg. And we have three guests, Lori Gephardt, who's from North Hills Psychological Associates, who we just spoke with. Also, collaborative attorney Susan DiGirolamo and collaborative financial neutral Greg Clark from Clark Consulting. Let's talk now to Susan for a moment. Susan, welcome. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
You're the attorney in this collaborative process. Obviously, this whole thing is about you are all individual businesses, but you come together as a group to help in this collaborative process. And you have a website, which the three of you have gone in on, so that would represent what you're hearing today if you want more information. Now, that website is 833-NO-COURT.com. And that ties in with the phone number, which is 1-833-NO-COURT. 1-833-NO-COURT. So, Susan, have you seen clients that leave the litigation system to work in the collaborative process? And if so, what are the reasons that they might do so?
Well, yes, I have. And most people, when they are beginning a divorce process, do have quite a bit of anxiety and concern about what might be happening with their children, their homes, and their financial situations. And some people don't realize that there are choices, that they just think that litigation is the way to go. So sometimes people start the litigation process and then they realize that it doesn't really fit with their values and their goals as well as they thought it might. They do investigation and realize that there are other options, such as direct negotiation with their spouse or the mediation process or the collaborative process. So sometimes when people get into that situation, they come to collaborative professionals such as Lori or Greg or myself, and they just have that conversation and find out that they can shift away from that litigation process along with their spouse and start to work in the collaborative process instead.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably have an idea what divorce is supposed to be like based on what they've seen on television, right?
And
that is usually the litigation process, and what you're all about is if possible, not going to litigation. So let's talk about the difference between the litigation process and collaboration and how those are different from each other.
So there are very many differences between litigation and the collaborative process, but I just wanted to focus a little bit on what sometimes typically happens in a litigation case at the beginning. And that is that after the divorce is filed and sometimes a support complaint, the litigation attorney will file two petitions, one for exclusive possession of the house and the other to freeze the assets. And that can sometimes include a family business, or other kinds of assets. Now, deciding who is going to live in the house and who might be moving out is a very important issue, and it does need to be resolved. But there's a big difference, and you can imagine, between being ordered by a court to leave your house mm-hmm. versus you and your spouse sitting down and talking about the benefits and risks of one person or the other leaving, and then deciding together on who will stay and who might leave, at least temporarily. So that, you know, doing that kind of decision making and working together to make that decision about something as important as where you're going to live sets up a more positive way going forward for the rest of the decisions that need to be made. And it's similar to the when they freeze the assets. Yes, we might decide at a collaborative meeting that nobody's going to change mm-hmm. anything right away. But again,
it's agreed upon.
Right. It's done. Yes.
By the two parties involved. Obviously, there are a lot of differences. But, you know, litigation is what? Long and expensive. And this is if you can do it, a much, much better way to go. Now, let's talk a little bit about the differences that these two processes, you know, litigation versus collaboration, the differences and how those affect the people and their relationships within the family.
Yes, the litigation system is based upon a battle, and the lawyers are trained to work against each other and basically fight each other. Mm-hmm. So in the collaborative process, each person has their own attorney, and we have a collaborative coach and a neutral financial person on the team. And all of those professionals are together helping the couple come to their decisions, giving them the information they need, and modeling good behavior in terms of communication as well. And so as we go through the collaborative process and people have success in coming to agreements, they learn how to communicate better with one another, and they actually do normally build a more positive relationship going forward. I can't promise that would happen, and it doesn't right. happen every time. But there's a possibility of that happening, which seems to me much less likely in a litigated process.
Yeah, I don't imagine that happens very often in the litigated process. Well, again, you're listening to BizBurg, and we appreciate you tuning in. We just spoke with Susan DiGirolamo, who's an attorney at law, and we're talking about the collaborative process. We spoke before that with Lori, who is still here, of course. And now we're going to move on to Greg Clark, who is with Clark Consulting. He's a collaborative financial neutral. And these three different professionals have come together to assist in this process of collaborative divorces. So, Greg, what financial issues, in your experience, are you seeing as most important to people that are thinking about divorce?
Well, actually, Gary, it's a lot of the same issues that most people deal with every day. I call them the big five. The first issue is the house, maintaining the marital residence. The second issue is if there's a family business involved. People are worried about how they're going to continue to operate the business in an uninterrupted fashion. The third issue is budgets, household expenses. How are we going to continue to meet our budgeted expenses with the income that we have? The fourth issue is college costs. How have we saved for college? Have we even started saving for college? Mm-hmm. And then the last one, five, is retirement. Same questions. How are we standing with our savings for retirement? Have we even started?
Wow, those are a lot of questions that people don't spend a lot of time, as they should probably, discussing even while they are married and things are going well. But obviously, correct. At this juncture, you have to get answers to these questions. And I would imagine another issue might be debt. What questions do you most often get from divorced couples regarding, like, the marital residence?
Well, the first question I always get is, who gets to keep the house?
Right. That's a biggie.
Well, and certainly in the collaborative process, we try to look at the interests of each of the parties, and we help them get to a decision on that question, who gets to keep the house. The second question a lot of times is, do we have to sell it? And the answer to this question actually has to do with what we'll talk about in a couple of minutes with the budget. Do we have to sell it? Can we afford it going forward when we're separating households based on our each of our incomes? The third question relating to the house or the marital residence is what you talked about before, debt. What happens with the mortgage? Do we have to refinance? If the house is going to go into one party's name or the other, we have to retitle that, and that may necessitate a refinancing of the joint debt. And then there's questions about, can one party refinance? Can they qualify for refinancing on their own? Those are always big questions with regard to the house.
Lots of questions to be answered. So that's the marital residence. How about businesses? A lot of people have family businesses. What are the issues that are involved in that?
Well, as the financial person, the first question I always get is, what's the value of the business, or do we have to value it? And again, we look at the interests. There are other ways to divide the business interest other than actually having a value. We can look at dividing the ongoing cash flow in that respect. But mostly, I want to talk about two different scenarios with a family business that I come across most often in the collaborative process. And the underlying themes that run through these are communication, transparency, and trust. A lot of times in the one situation, you have one of the spouses is an owner of the family business. They were an owner when the couple gets married. Most of the time during the marriage, the non-business owner spouse doesn't have a whole lot of information regarding the business. Mm-hmm. The other spouse, the business owner spouse, takes care of that, and they don't really share a whole lot about what goes on at the business or certainly the finances of the business. So in that respect, when we get to this point, when the couple gets to this point where they're thinking about getting a divorce, there's a lot of issues regarding communication or lack of communication with regard to the business information, trust, and the transparency of the whole thing.
So the other party has to get brought up to speed.
Absolutely, and that's part of my role in the collaborative process is to help that leveling of the education. In the process.
Boy, I bet there are some big surprises sometimes in that discussion.
There can be. There can be, and that's what leads to the lack of trust, and so we've got to help build that back up. The other situation I run into a lot is that the couple meets when they're working at the business, and then they get married. So we have the family business owner spouse, and then we have the other spouse who actually works in the business. And I just finished a collaborative case recently where the couple was getting divorced, and the non-business owner spouse had worked there for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So not only did we have to get them financially separated and address the issue of how do we divide the business interest, but there was the emotional aspect of actually separating that non-business owner spouse from the business. We had to do that too, and there was an emotional aspect, and it was very unfortunate and very emotional that the non-business owner spouse eventually had to get another job. And that was the way that they could each move forward in the process. We spent 3 or 4 meetings going through just the emotional issues of the, not even the financial issues of the valuation and all of that. It was the emotional issues, and that's where in the collaborative process we can all work together and use the tools that a mental health professional like Lori comes and brings to the table and helping these people through the emotional issues, not just the financial issues.
Very complicated in some cases, I'm sure.
Can be. Yeah.
Let's talk about budgets for a second. Why are those important for a couple who's considering a divorce?
Well, as an accountant, Gary, I would tell you that they're important for everyone.
I thought you might think that.
Every time. But in the case of a couple thinking about divorce, you know, they may not be thinking about their budgets and their expenses because, you know, they've been married and they've been sharing expenses and they've been sharing income that covers expenses for one household. Now, all of a sudden, they've got to think about, they got to shift gears and think about, now we've got two households, but we've got the same pool of income. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do this? So it's a shock to them.
Everybody gets less.
And that's one of the things that we have to talk through. We have to talk about the interests, and sometimes hard decisions need to be made with regard to the separate budgets. I always say that my role is to help them get financially separated as comfortably as possible. Sometimes it's not real comfortable, and this is one of the areas, the budget.
Okay, understood. So very important. How about college costs? How can that issue be addressed in this process?
Well, the issue of saving for college is important to everyone, whether they're divorcing or not. But the question I get most often is, what happened to our plan? Sometimes couples have a plan, and all of a sudden, we're faced with the issue of divorce. What happens to our plan? A lot of times in the collaborative process, the issue of college cost and saving, how much we have saved, or do we need to save more, that's addressed when we address the overall asset sharing division and the interests and the options for that, and also the budgeting process. When we go through the pool of income and we compare it to the budgets that we just talked about, if they can afford to have, if there's some left over, then we can implement that in the budget, and we can each of them set aside some more money for future college costs.
And then if we can briefly discuss the other thing that comes to mind, which is retirement, which is that thing down the road for a lot of people, but mm-hmm. that must also be addressed, right?
Yes. And again, the biggest question I always get is, do I have enough to retire, or what mm-hmm. do I need to retire? And again, we look at the interests of the parties in answering that question and helping to answer that question. But again, I'm going to go back to one of the main experiences that I've had with regard to the retirement with the couples in the collaborative divorce process is the disparity between the level of retirement, because one of the spouses has been out of the workforce for a period of time raising the children and the other one hasn't. So that's a real big issue for a lot of the collaborative cases that I've come across, is that all of a sudden that they realize that there's this disparity in the level of retirement income that each of them had. And a lot of times, people have retirement from before they got married, and it's basically been sitting there, or they've rolled it over into an IRA and they haven't really been contributing to it. So that adds to the level of the disparity when the other spouse has been working and continues to work and continues to contribute to their employer plan and all of that.
Well, I think we'll just stay together. This sounds really tough, but there's so much to think about, and that's why you want to be working with professionals like yourselves in this process. At least you're looking at a collaborative process as opposed to litigation. We've just been speaking with Greg Clark, who is with Clark Consulting LLC. Now, he's a financial neutral in this. Three professionals who've come together to make this process easier for you. Susan is an attorney, and then we have a psychologist, Lori, with us as well. So here's some contact information, 833-NO-COURT.com. That's the website, 833-NO-COURT.com. There's a phone number. That's 1-833-NO-COURT. See how easy they've made it for you? 1-833-NO-COURT. That is the telephone number to call. You know, as I listen to you all talk about that, it is very apparent that this is a huge issue, a huge decision, obviously, for people to decide whether to get a divorce. And this whole process can seem and is so overwhelming to many people. Can, in our time remaining, you address that issue?
Yes, we understand that it is a huge decision for families to make to get a divorce and then to choose the process that they use for their divorce. And one of the things that we really value about this process is that we have the support for each of the issues, the emotional communication, parenting, the legal issues, and the financial issues. And we have the folks at the table to really support folks. And we take it one step at a time so that it doesn't have to feel so overwhelming to them.
Well, isn't it nice, at least if you have to go through this process, that you have three professionals working together rather than fighting each other in court?
That's right, Gary. In my opinion, the way to get the best result for your family is to have all of the professionals together and working in a coordinated fashion with you to make the best decisions possible.
Well, I certainly appreciate the time that you all have spent with us today here on BizBurg. So if you've just tuned in midway, we've been speaking with psychologist and collaborative coach Lori Gephardt, who's with North Hills Psychological Associates. Also, we've spoken with Susan DiGirolamo. She's a collaborative attorney. And also, we've spoken with collaborative financial neutral Greg Clark from Clark Consulting LLC. These three professionals have come together to help you work through this process of collaborative divorce. We encourage you to contact them. Here's the telephone number if you'd like to. 1-833-NO-COURT. 1-833-NO-COURT. There's a website as well. That's easy. It's 833-NO-COURT.com. 833-NO-COURT.com. Again, the first program we did together is on your website as well. It's posted. You can go there and listen to that and get even more information than you picked up on today's program. Thanks for joining us, all of you, today.
Thank you.
Today's Bisberg program is sponsored by North Hills Psychological Associates, Susan DiGirolamo, attorney at law, and Clark Consulting, LLC. We'll see you next time.